All right. Let's take our Bibles and then turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and let's look tonight at verses 24 through 26. The Scriptures declare that the Lord God Almighty, having created the heaven and the earth, and called into existence those things that were associated with the first through the fifth day, now begins His work on the sixth day. And in verse 24, the Scripture says, "And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and the creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so." Now, the creatures of the sea, the fowl of the air, were created on the fifth day, and they were blessed of God to be fruitful and multiply, fill their respective areas of the environment. And now the Lord has been pleased, according to His wisdom, to make of the earth the living creature after His kind. All sorts of living creatures that move on the dry ground, some totally terrestrial, some made to be both aquatic and terrestrial, all after their kind. That is, they were made to be like creatures, whatever their species. They were all made and they existed in a uniform way, same characteristics. Now, I know what, you know, we talk about evolution, and this animal right here used to have a tail, and it, after a while, it didn't, and it fell off, and it was just the remnant of it left. The Scriptures declare that the way that God made the animals is the way that the animals are now. Now, I'm not saying that some have not become extinct. Maybe they have. But the Scripture declares that when God made them, He made them after their kind. And from the wording of Scripture, it appears that God was pleased to make these living creatures upon the earth. And actually, it names three different categories. Now, when it says cattle, now we think of a cow, but there's a variety of cattle. You can see Texas Longhorns, and you can see Brahma Bulls, you can see, but the word cattle there is actually a word that seems to indicate animals which would be more tame, is actually the insinuation, or domesticated. There were animal, a cattle that would include, like a sheep, a horse, camels, it's animals like that that could be domesticated. They were tamed, used by man for different purposes such as food or clothing or work. And animals that could be taught to not shun society of men. They could be domesticated animals. But then there was the next group. It was talking about and creeping thing. That, now, those words denote an animal which crawls or glides swiftly. That's in the definition of it. Animals that have short steps, or animals that move in a more of a flat, kind of a prostrate posture. They could include smaller creatures that scurry, like rabbits or worms or serpents or eels and such, ants, bugs, and all other smaller creatures. I began to think as I was studying this, I was looking at the end of the 25th verse there. I'll read it in a second. And it says that after the Lord had made them, God saw that it was good. that it was profitable, it was useful, that it was good. And just in my thinking, I started thinking of creatures that, in my estimation, would be a nuisance. I started thinking about mosquitoes. And I looked up just to see what is the usefulness of a mosquito. And I was amazed at what I found. And though it did say that if we could, you know, just completely eradicate mosquitoes, animals that we think are so useless, harmful, just you know. It was talking about mosquitoes, that they are the major animal that pollinates. I thought that was only belonged to bees. You know, bees, bumblebees, whatever kind of bees. But mosquitoes, that they were the absolute healthiest fish food, the little larvae when they're, you know, and also that they were able to produce an enzyme that the environment needed. It said without mosquitoes, the environment would just be completely out of balance. And I thought, you know, when the scripture sets forth that God made them after their kind, even in verse 25, I'll go ahead and read it now. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. That there wasn't, that there, nothing was created that was a nuisance. Nothing was created that was out of balance. Everything was perfect. And Almighty God made the creatures that didn't evolve. But they were instantaneously spoken into existence by the Word of God. God made them for God's glory, for His praise and honor in their creation, but for man that was yet to be made. Man was not yet created, but God made all the preparations for man's need, and He called it into being. He called it into existence. And they were there. They were there with the ability to multiply and to bring forth exactly their kind and in perfect harmony. I mean, we talk about everything working together in harmony and all the checks and balances. In the wisdom of God, think how everything works perfectly, until man thinks that he knows better than God. And he's going to transport this animal from this country that has a natural predator to keep it in balance and bring it over here, and then he puts it over here to do what he thinks is going to be the right thing. And it's a mess. It doesn't work. You know, you got problems. You know, down in the South, I've grown up there in Louisiana, Mississippi, and I remember years and years ago, my dad pointing out what we were so wise, what men were so wise to do to help control erosion. And he took and brought in kudzu. And if you're familiar with kudzu, it's a mess. It just takes over everything. You take it out. God made everything and placed it where it was, and God saw it was good. It was profitable. Perfect harmony. Well, then in verse 26, and here's where we'll come to the heart of what we'll stay on for a few moments. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, the first thing that we behold is the declaration by God of His triunity in man's creation. And God said, and the word, the title, the name God there is a plural word. It's a plural word for the supreme God. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, we cannot, I've said this so many times, we cannot enter into the fullness of the glorious declaration of God's triunity. But we believe it. We don't claim to understand it. We know that God is one God, and He has set forth Himself in three persons. We know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God. There is one God. And He, in glorious counsel with Himself, Father, Son, three distinct declarations of His persons. I think about the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the Son. The Son of God made flesh. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You hear Him. And John said, and I saw the Spirit descend as a dove upon Him. One God. You say, I don't understand it. I understand that. But we believe it. And one day, we'll know as we're known. But right now, God, in three distinct persons, said, let us make in our image, let's make man in our image, after our likeness. So, Almighty God, in man's creation, did so to the eternal praise and glory of the Son in His redemptive majesty. Eternally purposed and ordained, but brought about from the beginning of time to our understanding that the creation was accomplished by the triune God in order that the redemption of fallen creatures might be, Scripture says in Ephesians 2:7, in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What we are declaring here is that Almighty God eternally purposed to magnify the Son. The Son was going to be magnified in redemption. All praise unto the Son. For all praise to be unto the Son, God was going to have to speak this world into existence. He was going to have to create everything that man would need for his life on this earth. Then He was going to have to make man. Male and female. Man. And He was going to have to bring man into existence, give him the ability to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and out of that, you know, all that mass of humanity, God's going to have a people. He's going to save them. Oh, the magnitude of the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, God, in His infinite wisdom and purpose, He brought about the creation of man by His triune being, knowing that man would fall. Knowing that man would fall. And in the fall, mankind would behold God's sovereign right, power to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever He would. So we know, according to the Scriptures, God the Father chose the people. The Lord Jesus Christ eternally stood as their surety to live for and died for. God's elect established their righteousness, be their substitute and redeemer upon the cross of Calvary before God, answering all of their need before God's law. That the Holy Spirit was going to call them out, regenerating grace. But the mystery of this scripture is found right here when God was pleased to reveal His will. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. What does that mean? What does it mean? Well, I'm going to go ahead and admit that I don't want to give the illusion that I can perceive the depth of man's creation in the image and likeness of God, but there are some things that are revealed in Scripture that will give us some understanding into this glorious truth. The Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, from that word of truth from the Lord, we know this, that something was lost. In Adam's fall, it must be given back, being born from above. However man was created, something happened in the fall that he lost. He lost something. God made man one way. And in the fall, he lost something. So I know he lost something. Okay, what is it? But the Lord Jesus Christ said, this is Psalm 69:4, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away." So, something, again, the Lord is saying the same thing that He said to Nicodemus. He said, "I restored that which I didn't take away." Man lost something, and Christ had to restore it. So, as we consider this truth, we must understand the meaning of the words. Words are everything in Scripture. I've said before, look them up. Find out what does it mean. What does man being made in the image and likeness of God, what does that mean? Well, the image of God, the image, just the word, it means the shade, meaning like the shadow. It's a shadow. If I'm standing outside and the sun is shining from my back and I'm looking, I can see a shadow. That's not me. It's a shadow of me. It's the shade. It's what it is. So it means the shade, the illusion, the resemblance. You have someone and they have a child and you look at the child and you can see the resemblance. You see the resemblance of the parents. You know, you say, boy, he's got his mom's eyes, or, you know, he's got his dad's ears or something like that. There is a resemblance. It's an image. It's not exactly them, but it's the image. That's what the image. Let's make in the image and likeness. The word likeness, it means the model or the similitude. So actually we got two words that declare man to be created in the image or likeness of God. They're made with a resemblance of the Lord God. So to be created in God's image and likeness means that there's some likenesses between man and God. Not that man would be made like God. That the Lord God is singular in His being. Isaiah 46:9, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's none else. I am God, and there's none like me." So when I say that man was made in the image and likeness of God, what I'm saying is, God created man to have some shadows, to have an illusion, to have that similitude or that resemblance of God. God made man that man would be to magnify the Lord in a way, in certain ways. So to say that man was created in the image and likeness of God means something other than being like God. It's not God, but whatever it was tainted. Whatever it was, and I'm going to get to what they were. It was tainted by sin, therefore it was lost, and it had to be restored. He had to be born again to bring it back to the way man was originally created. So first, what is it about God? And I let me just say this. I'm not, obviously, I'll never be able to touch all the things. I found four things that I would like to bring out. Four short things concerning man being made in the image and likeness of God. Here, man is not like any of the creatures. None of the creatures were made this way. There was nothing in the creatures that would resemble God like man. Man was the ultimate creation. First of all, we know concerning God, let's make man in our image, in our likeness. Well, what is it about the Lord? Well, first of all, I know this, that God is a spirit. The Lord said that, being God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, being spirit, God in His being is not with a body. You know, when you first start thinking, let's make it in our image, you think, well, it's going to be something that I can see, I can look at. You see, well, God is a spirit. And the way that we perceive God, the Lord Jesus Christ came and took upon Himself the form of sinful flesh. He took Himself a body, and we could see Him. But God Himself, let us make man in our image. God, first of all, is a spirit. And the man was created also to be in that similitude. When God created man, God formed His physical body, and He made it from the dust. That's what Genesis 2:7 says. A body that one day would go back to the dust, but God did something for man that He did for no other creatures. He made man to be in the image and likeness of God, meaning in the similitude, not something you could see with the physical eyes. God breathed into man, into his nostrils, the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now I can't read Hebrew, but I can just read what it says. The Hebrew I read wording of that man became a living soul. It actually, in the Hebrew, it is man became the soul of lives. The soul, S-O-U-L, of lives. That means that man had something that animals don't have. Animals have life. They have a temporal life. Man has that. It's a temporal life. But also man has a spiritual life. Man possesses, like an animal, man possesses a life that this physical, temporal life that we have that animates this body, stuff like that. But if this life, if this heart stops beating, that temporal life is over, and I'm gone. I mean, this body is there, and it'll go back to the dust. But there was something about me that wouldn't die. There's a life, there's a soul there that is eternal. It's never going to die. Man became a living soul. So man received something other than that animals didn't. Animals, they share that life, that temporal life, with man. They do that, but that life that animates the body. But man received life that was more than that animal life. He has that which is created in the image and likeness of God. God never dies. God never dies. God is life. And man was made like that. Man has a life that will never end, whether it's with the Lord or whether it's in hell. That rich man, Lazarus, you know, Lazarus died and went into the bosom of Abraham, and that the rich man died and lifted up his eyes out of hell. Whenever God cast a man out of the garden, he said, let's cast him out and put a cherubim there with a sword, lest man eat of the tree of life and live forever in that state. So that man was first created with that living soul. He's like, that's how God is. God is eternal. Man was created that way. Man's going to live forever. There is something about us that will never die. Secondly, man was created without any imperfection or corruption. That's how man was created. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright." Man was, remember, an illusion, a resemblance in the similitude of God. And here, when we see man being created upright, he was created innocent. He had that particular characteristic of that the animals didn't have. He was not created as God is. God is holy. God is holy. Man was said to be created upright. God made him in his likeness and image as a resemblance to the Lord. The word upright means straight. He was straight and well. He was created morally good. Let me say it like that. He possessed the righteousness of that a man can possess as long as he feared and obeyed God. Man was made, he was fallible. He was a fallible creature, susceptible to fall because he fell. But God made man to be upright. He had some honor to him. He was created to be one that could know God, and he was straight. That's what the word means, straight. The Lord told Adam, though he was straight and he had a righteousness that a man can earn, but it was a righteousness that could fall. Because again, man after the fall, God had to restore something to him. I'll get to that in a second. That there was something that had to be restored. That righteousness that man first had, he lost it. The Lord told him. He said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And what's the Lord going to have to do? He's going to have to restore something that man lost. Man was created upright. But man fell and lost that uprightness before God. He was created that way. He was created with an eternal living soul. But that soul died. It died. God's going to have to make him new. He was created upright, but he died. He died. God's going to have to do something for him. He's going to have to to give back, restore what he didn't take away. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole..." Actually, when you look at that scripture, that word duty, it says the whole duty of man. The word duty is in italics. It was added. Here's what it says. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man." This is the whole of man right here. How was man created? He was created to reverence and respect and love and trust and devote his heart to serve and please God and to keep his commandments. No other creature was made that way. Only man was created to reverence, love, respect God. Cattle don't do that. Bugs don't do that. They magnify the Lord in their creation, in his wisdom to uphold and keep man in this earth. But they weren't made to be fearful of God, to know and perceive God and to keep his commandments. Man was made that way. Thirdly, man was created to be in unity and fellowship with God. Now, the Lord God is one God. Now we looked at that. He's one God in glorious harmony with himself. Listen, we've read this one many times, Proverbs 8:22-24. The Lord is speaking. The Lord, and that's all capital letters there in this scripture. Jehovah possessed me. Now here is the Son, the glorious surety himself, before he was made flesh. He's always been. The Son has the eternal Son. The eternal Father has an eternal Son. And here is the eternal Son, eternally, before he was made flesh in this world. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water." He said, "I've always been before him. I was ever his delight." Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, he beheld something of the unity of the Godhead in that glorious vision. Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord," that is the sovereign, controller, and master, "sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, the seraphims crying of the glorious triunity of God." Here's what they were saying. "Holy, holy, holy is the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is the triunity of God of hosts. Holy, holy, holy. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy, Holy Spirit. God Almighty in oneness and unity." And when God made man, he made man in his likeness, in his image, and he made him and put him in the garden to dress and keep the garden. That means to work and watch over it. To watch over the creation of God's provision. God made man to be in unity with himself. God made man to be like that. To walk with God and to God talk to him. I just imagine this. Here is Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and God fellowshiped with him. Before God made the woman out of the rib of Adam, God, the scripture says, brought the animals to Adam and told Adam to name all the animals of God's creation. Man was created intelligent. I mentioned that last week, I think. And here, this is a picture and an illusion of the omniscience of God. God knows everything. And God brought these animals to Noah, to Adam, and said, name them. And whatever Adam named them, that's what they are. That's what they are today. You know, that right there, that's a deer. And that right there is going to be a dog. That's a greyhound dog. That's what there. God gave that intelligence, and that here it is in the likeness and image of God, God Almighty, who He knows all. He's omniscient. And man was created with intelligence. Adam knew he was smart. He was brilliant. Brilliant man. So God, in unity with Himself, made man to be in unity with God. He was made in God's image and likeness. And then lastly, man was given dominion over God's creation. That's what it says in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God made man to have some delegated authority. Delegated. That relationship of man to the rest of creation was set forth in that delegated rule. His man's dominion was over the fish, the sea, the fowl of the air, literally the heavens, over the cattle, those domesticated animals, over the earth, over the creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Man was created to be the governor over the creation. That's what he did. He told him, he said, you let him have dominion. Let man be the one that uses the creation for whatever his need. Food, company, dogs and cats, or clothing or something. So man was created in the image and likeness of God who is in the heavens. David said, and he's done whatever he pleases. God rules in heaven and earth, but he made man in his similitude, in his likeness, in his image to be like that. No animals rules over man. Man was made in God's image. And so here, man's created in that likeness. And God is sovereign. And all answer to him. But in making man to rule over the earth, over the creatures, that man, he has a dominion that is an assigned dominion, that he might magnify that God rules. You look at man and his man's at the top of the chain, you know, as far as in this all the creation, it all from man's the top, but man magnifies the Lord God Himself. This is, you look at man in creation and you say, I know something about God. As man was given dominion here, there's a God in heaven. That a man is but a shadow of him. But that's how God was pleased to make him. But, and here's where I'm gonna wrap this up. In the fall, man, as he was created to be, of all things that God made, and it was good. It was good. And God made man in his likeness. He made him as a spirit that lives forever. He's got a life about him that lives forever. He's a picture of unity, to walk with God and to understand and to know God. All of these wonderful things that God did for man. And by one man's disobedience, by man's one disobedience, all mankind fell. And it was ruined. It was ruined by one act. One act of everything that God had done. And God told Adam, he said, when you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. You're going to die. And he died spiritually. That life of God, that unity, it was lost. It was all gone. All of it was gone. And if left in that state, man now must be cast out from the presence of God forever. But in mercy, compassion and grace, all that Almighty God, out of the mass of humanity, all that God had everlastingly loved, Almighty God was pleased to restore back in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that which He didn't take away. God Almighty, in all of the demands that He placed upon man, Christ as man's federal head, the chosen of the elect of God, He was going to do for them what they couldn't do for themselves. He was going to answer for all of the demands to fear God, fear the Lord, and to obey His commandments. That was the whole duty of man. Fear God, reverence God as God, and obey, and hear the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that loved the people, loved the Father, loved the Son, and that the Mediator Himself of that everlasting covenant, in grace, in mercy, He came into this world, made under the law, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and lived before God in absolute reverence. His meat was to do the will of Him that sent Him. And He went to the cross, and He was made sin to pay the debt that all of His elect had incurred. All of God's creation, and His elect out of that creation, He died for those elect, and He paid. And then He wrought out a righteousness that they only had, that it was a righteousness of a man. But what He gave them, He gave them the righteousness of God. What they could never have produced, He did for them. That upright man created to be now polluted from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot, Almighty God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ wrought out and created in that man righteousness and true holiness. Man that was in unity with God and lost that unity by his rebellion, now found in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2:13. And no more are God's people now left to their fickle flesh that Adam was created in. Adam was created a man, but he was liable to fall. But now, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are found now to be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The Lord gives eternal life, and now they'll never perish. They'll never perish. He restored back that which He took not away, but all what He gave back. When Adam was created, if Adam would have been left in that state, man would have always been liable to fall. But out of the fall, what God did for man, He created him in His likeness, in His image, in a similitude of God. But all that man could do was not enough. And Christ came, and in magnificent glory and obedience, He did for man what God demanded. And now, here we are, restored. He told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. But now, born of the Spirit, we have life. Man, he had to have his sin atone for. Now, when God sees the blood, He said, I'm going to pass over you. Oh, the wonder of God's creation of man. But oh, the magnificence of being recreated, given life. That old heart taken away, new heart given, new mind, new spirit, and now kept unto the day of redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that God might bless this to our heart, and that we might behold the mercy of Almighty God to make us, redeem us, and make us again fresh in regenerating grace for His glory and our eternal good. Amen.